thank you for taking the time to listen to this life-changing message from the Ministry of Faith Bible Chapel. We hope this message will encourage you in all parts of your life. At the end of this message, you will hear more information on how to contact our church family, as well as directions for you to visit us for any of our worship services. Until then, join us for the service in progress.
Wrestling during the worship set there tonight, not because I was having a hard time focusing on the Lord, but just because I feel like the Lord wants me to tweak the message a little bit tonight. And I don't want to say I'm not a fan of that, but I will say that it just gets me out of my comfort zone a little bit, because it doesn't necessarily flow along exactly with my notes. But if you're with me, we're just going to dive in, and I'm going to prove it to you through the Word, what we're going to talk about tonight. But I want to challenge you with something that I felt during worship kind of prompted of the Lord to share with you. You're not going to find it on your notes because it's not on your notes. So some of what, here, I'll just throw this disclaimer out right now. Some of what I'm going to share with you is going to be on your notes, at least the beginning of it. From there, I don't know what to tell you, except we'll find it in the Bible. How's that? Okay, you with me? Okay, I think we better pray over the Word. Father, thank you that your Word is true. Your Word is powerful. Lord, we submit to it right now, its authority, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You know, Brandon was talking just a minute ago about John Wesley and the amazing hymns, and not only the hymns and the songs and all of the things that he wrote. Think about how many years ago that was. We're talking hundreds of years ago. Those hymns, those songs that are still beloved in the church, that are still sung in the church, that are still have messages and meanings that still impact us today. How is that possible? How is it possible that that can happen? Let me just throw out to you the title of the message, and then let me just speak into that a little bit and tell you why I believe that's possible, and then we'll talk about our conclusion of the Sermon on the Mount. We have been for the last several weeks now, almost 2 months, talking about the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus' first teaching to disciples, first teaching to people that he wanted to have impact to and with, and we already concluded through the study that there were several audiences that Jesus was speaking to. Some of the people that Jesus was speaking to were believers, others were heathens, and somewhere in between, everybody else fell. So, how is it that somebody like a John Wesley, or anybody for that matter, can say something, write something hundreds of years ago, and it still be impactful today? And I think the title of the message will speak to that. Let me throw some things out to you. Built to last. I want you to think about that today. I want you to think about that in the world that we live in today. That is not necessarily true about most of what we see in our world today. Most of what we see built today in our world does not last. The materials get cheaper and cheaper to make, and so the longevity of them lasting, whatever it is, doesn't seem to last. So built to last almost sounds like an oxymoron when you're talking about today. But Jesus, when he was pouring into people's lives, that including me and you, John Wesley, hundreds of years ago, whoever it might be, God was building us to last. We need to think about that for a minute. And I'm going to ask you to let what that song was that we just sung happen to you. Let faith arise in your heart, because we're going to look at the Word and we're going to look at what the Word says. But let faith arise in your heart as we look at God's Word tonight, okay? Say okay. We're going to let faith arise. So how does a man like John Wesley, or anybody for that matter, how does what he did impact the world today? Because he was built to last. Here's why he was built to last. Because Christ lived in him. Christ lived in him, and because Christ lived in him, some of the songs that he wrote hundreds of years ago are alive today. We have the Word today that we value and we cherish and we love, but the fact of the matter is, this history had to be lived before it could be recorded. The great men of faith and the great women of faith that we read about in the Scriptures, we could not have read about them. We could not read about them today, thousands of years later, unless they lived it first. So history has to be lived before it can be recorded. So John Wesley, hundreds of years ago, when he was writing those songs, was living history. It was just current at the time. Now it's 300 years old. What's going to happen in 300 years? Should the Lord not return, your life is going to speak into eternity because you are built to last. I am built to last. I wonder if you're doing this, and we're going to dive right into the text for tonight, and then from there, I don't know what to tell you, except we're just going to go, okay? Are you, by the way, are you celebrating the wins that you're having, spiritually speaking? I want you to think about that for a minute as we begin to dive into God's Word. Every win that you experience as a believer is a spectacular win. Do you know that? Everything that you go through and every win that you have is just not an okay win. It is a spectacular win. Did John Wesley have any idea that 300 years later, 250 years later, that we would be still singing his songs as worship to the Lord? No. He was just living in the now, and he was experiencing spectacular wins. The writing of those songs, the things that you're doing today, those in God's mind are spectacular wins. I don't think very many of us that are sitting in this room tonight need more of the Word. Hear me when I say that. Certainly, we need to continue to grow. We need to continue to experience. We need to continue to learn. We don't ever outgrow that. I was amazed 45 minutes ago. I walked in here with my niece and my two nephews, and we walked in. We sat right down there in the front row, and Maisie said to me, and she'll be six in July, she said to me, Uncle Blake, she said, do you see that ramp? I said, yeah. She said, do you know what that ramp's for? And she said, I said, no, what's the ramp for? She said, it's for the donkeys to walk up because they won't walk upstairs. So for the Easter play next week, starting Sunday, this ramp is here. And Maisie told me the ramp is here because the donkeys won't walk up the steps. And I'm thinking, she knows so much. She knows so much. She's only 5 and a half. She's not even 6 years old. You know so much of the Word right now. But are you celebrating the spectacular wins that you're having by calling them spectacular? Jesus is ending his Sermon on the Mount. Why wouldn't you start the Sermon on the Mount with this? Last week, we looked at what Jesus said in the very beginning of the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus said, you are the salt of the earth and you are the light of the world. We already talked about it. We're not going to go back. But Jesus was prophetically speaking truth over you and I, over the disciples, before we were even walking in the fulfillment of that. So he starts the Sermon on the Mount that way. He ends the Sermon on the Mount with this. I'm thinking if I'm writing the Sermon on the Mount, maybe this would be the first part for me. I would start with Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 27. But the master teacher, Jesus, ends with it. And here's what he says, and I want you to follow along as we read it. Here's what Jesus said. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. So here's Jesus again, the brilliant teacher that he was, teaching metaphorically to people that could get a visual of what he was saying. These are people that are building structures to live in a desert. So the weather is always changing in the desert. There's flash floods. There's all kinds of topography changes, all kinds of things that are happening. And Jesus is saying there's wise builders and there's foolish builders. The wise builders build on the stone or on the foundation, the foolish builders build on the sand. And then Jesus says, when the storms come, not if, but when the storms come, and by the way, they hit those who build on the foundation, which is stone, or those that build on the sand. None are exempt from the storms of life. Have you realized that as a believer? You are not exempt from the storms of life. They hit us. The difference is this. When your life is built on a solid foundation, which is Jesus Christ, when your life is built on that foundation, when those storms come, you weather them. And not only do you weather them, but you make it through. So these are statements made not only by a scholar. Remember, this is the same Jesus who at 12 years old was in the temple amazing people with his knowledge. It's not only that same Jesus, but it's a very practical man who worked with his hands. So the things that Jesus is trying to teach us as his Sermon on the Mount is concluding are very practical things. And I want to talk to you tonight about something that I think is very, very practical. And it's so practical that probably most of us are missing it and we don't even realize that we're missing it. It's such a practical thing that if we will trust what God says in his word, if we'll really trust it, if we'll let faith arise in our hearts and we'll really trust what God's word says, then we are built to last. In other words, the influence that you have today will outlive you. That's what God fully expects. God fully expects that what is happening in your life right now is not going to die with you. Whenever that is, 80, 90, 100, however old it is, that the influence that you have will not die. Now, Jesus says how that happens. Those that hear and do what I say. Those that hear and do what I say. Those are the people that are built to last. Those are the people that are going to have an influence that outlives them. Notice on your outline what Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. Here's what he said. Don't you realize that all of you together are the house of God? All of you together are the house of God, and that God's Spirit lives inside of you. So Jesus is talking about building a house. Wise and foolish builders. You need to build a house, Jesus was saying. Here's the good thing. The house is already paid for. You have been paid for. You have no mortgage. Aren't you glad? There is no mortgage. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Paul is saying here, don't you realize that you are the house of God? You are the temple of God. In other words, God lives inside of us, so we are God's house. And the Spirit of God lives inside of us. That mortgage has been paid. Christ paid the debt. He canceled the debt. It's been burned up, all of that. But here's what we're responsible for. We're responsible for the maintenance and the upkeep of that house. Isn't that true? Jesus paid the price. Jesus paid for the mortgage. But I am responsible, and according to the words of Jesus, there's wise and foolish builders. And the wise ones are the ones that are listening and doing what Jesus said. So I want to just give you these 3 points, and I'm going to throw you a curve back there, and I'm sorry for doing this. We'll talk about it later, okay? I hope you still love me in this. I just want to give you point number 1 and 2 and 3. I'm not going to give you any subpoints, and then we're going to dive into what I felt like I was wrestling through right next to Pastor Roger right there as we were going through this. Point number 1 is this. If your house is going to be a house that's built to last, it's got to be built on the worship of God. It's got to be built on the worship of God. And I'm not talking about singing. I'm talking about worship as our devotion to God. So how do we build this house on the foundation which Jesus is talking about? The way that we do that is through our worship or through our devotion to God. In John chapter 4, and it's there on your outline, I'm not going to read it to you, but in John chapter 4, Jesus said the cry of his heart was not worship, but worshipers. That's what he desired. Jesus desired worshipers. He desired people that would be worshipers of him. That's our devotion. So if we're going to build a house that lasts through the rains and the storms of life and through all of the things that we go through in life, it's going to come from our worship. Building to last is it's got to be built on worship, your devotion to God. And I said it just a minute ago. Are you looking at the winds that you're experiencing every day as spectacular winds? If you're winning at home, if you're winning at work, if you're winning in your head, if you're winning in your heart, those are spectacular wins. Don't let anything or anybody tell you anything different. What determines a spectacular win? So, it's got to be built on the worship of God. The second one is this, and here's where I'm throwing them a curve back there. Make sure on your way out you say to the people back there in the sound room, thank you and we appreciate you. Okay? Will you do that for me? I mean, they hear lots of things back there. One of the things that's good for them to hear is you're doing a great job. Thank you. So I'm going to say it right now. I'm the first one to say it. Let's say it on our way out. Okay? Okay, are you with me? Y'all still tracking with me? Say yes. Okay, I just want to make sure you're with me. Okay, the second one is, if I'm going to be built to last, then it's got to be built, my life that is, on God's word. It's got to be built on God's word. James 1 says this, don't just listen to God's word. I'm just going to put my name in here and I'm going to personalize it. Blake, don't just listen to God's word. You have to do what it says. Otherwise, you're only fooling yourself. For if you listen to the word, Blake, and you don't obey it, it's like glancing at your face in a mirror. You see yourself, you walk away, and you forget what you look like. But Blake, if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, and you do what it says, and don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you for doing it. Somebody came up with this stat. It takes about 50, for the average reader, takes about 56 hours to read the Bible. 56 hours. So the average reader can read the Bible in about 56 hours. So let's just think about that for a second. So my life needs to be, if it's going to be a life that's built to last, it needs to be built on the worship of and to God, and it needs to be built on the Word of God. If I can read the Bible as an average reader, and that's all I am as an average reader, in 56 hours, then I should be reading it. Amen? I should be reading the Bible. So, number one, it's got to be built on my worship to God. Number two, built on God's word. And then number three is this, built on your walk with God. So, if I'm going to have a life that is built to last, it's got to be built on my worship or my devotion to God. It's got to be built on God's word. And then it's got to be built on my walk with God. Now, here's what I'll tell you to do. Okay, just turn your outline over. Turn your outline over, and if you want to write some things down, you can write them on the back, okay? Because we have no more notes for tonight, okay? No more notes for tonight. So I'm just going to dive right in here and see what happens, okay? Say okay. Just want to make sure you're all with me here. I tease you a little bit on Wednesday nights, and I kind of draw you out, and I play with you a little bit. I say this often on Wednesday nights. Thank you for braving the elements tonight. I didn't have to say that. I have to say thank you for overcoming the temptation of coming. It was gorgeous outside, and you're here. You're here because you love God. You're here because you love His Word, and I appreciate that. So I draw you out a little bit sometimes when I'm teaching, and I'm just having fun with you. In both accounts of the Sermon on the Mount, in both Matthew and Luke's account, if you read chronologically, here's what you begin to find that Jesus did almost immediately after he taught the Sermon on the Mount. So remember, let's keep in mind how Jesus did that. At the very beginning of his ministry, he calls the disciples to himself, and then he says, I'm going to teach you this. And so chapters 5, 6, and 7 of Matthew and the early chapters of the book of Luke are Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. Right after that, in both accounts, Jesus starts on this public demonstration of miraculous things. When you read, starting in Matthew chapter 8, 9, 10, you start reading in Luke 7, 8, and 9, all of a sudden you begin to see Jesus doing these miraculous things. He begins to heal people. Now, I'm going to submit a few things to you and challenge you to study it out on your own, but it's in the Bible. I said to you a couple weeks ago that the Bible says this in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, that we are Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal to the world through us. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 17 through 22. So it is a fact that now as a new creature in Christ, God's desire is that we represent him through allowing him to work through our lives. Are you God's house? Are you God's house? We proved it in the Bible. The Word says that you are God's house, okay? And the Spirit of God lives within you. Matter of fact, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. There's an interesting portion of Scripture in Luke chapter 8. And I want to read this to you. In Luke chapter 8, and I'm going to start in, let me see where I'm going to start here. I am going to start in verse 42 of Luke chapter 8, and I want to read a few verses to you, then I want to challenge us all, and I'm talking to myself as well. I want to challenge us all with a few things. This is one of those accounts of Jesus doing something very supernatural in the life of a woman, and here's what the Bible says. As Jesus was on his way, the crowds almost crushed him, And then a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years, and no one could heal her. So what do you think about this? Jesus has started his public ministry. The Sermon on the Mount is over. And immediately, in his wisdom and in his sovereignty, he starts healing people. He starts laying hands on people. People are being healed. They're being delivered. They're being set free, raised from the dead. All of these miraculous things are happening. Why, Jesus? Why are these things happening? And why are you recording them like this? Listen to this account of this woman. Imagine this. 12 years, she's subject to bleeding. She spent all of her money, all of her resources. Nobody can help her. She is in dire straits, is she not? I mean, this is a woman that is troubled. She's probably widowed. She has no way of supporting herself, spent everything that she had. She is in a difficult situation. And here's what the Bible says happens. She came up behind him. This is speaking of Jesus. She came up behind him and she touched the edge of his cloak, and immediately her bleeding stop. Now listen to Jesus' response. Who touched me? That is an odd thing. Who touched me? Jesus said, who touched me? Now I want you to imagine how, as Jesus' popularity is increasing, crowds are gathering around Jesus and people are following Jesus everywhere. This woman touches the hem of Jesus' garment. Jesus is so impacted by that. He says and asks this question, who touched me? And here's what the Bible goes on to say. Jesus asked, when they all denied it, Peter said, so who touched me, Jesus asked. When they all denied it, Peter said, Master, the people are crowding and pressing against you. But Jesus said, someone touched me. I know that power has gone out from me. Now, keep in mind that you are built to last. Say, I'm built to last. The same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives inside of you. Why is Jesus doing this? Why is not only Jesus doing this, why is this recorded in two gospels? Why is this recorded in the gospel of Luke? And why is this recorded in the gospel of Matthew? Let me submit this to you. The crowds are pressing around. Jesus has this woman touch the hem of his garment. He calls a timeout. And he says, wait a minute, who touched me? Peter's, Jesus, what do you mean who touched you? Everybody's pressing in to touch you. What do you mean? Jesus said, no, something has happened to me. Something happened. Power went out from me. In other words, something came out of me. Same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives inside of you. You are Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal to the world through you. Now, I have a question for you. What was it at that moment, at that very moment, what was it that flowed? And I'm going to answer the question for you. What was it at that very moment that flowed out of Jesus? Because Jesus said, wait a minute, power has flowed out of me. Here's what flowed out of Jesus at that very moment. Exactly what that woman needed. Exactly what that woman needed at that very moment is exactly what flowed out of Jesus. Now, I want you to think about this. Why would Jesus put a story like this in the Bible? Because he's trying to teach you and I something. We are the house that is built to last. God's Spirit lives inside of this house, and I want to submit something to you. God's desire for your life and for my life is to have happen exactly what happened to Jesus at that moment. Why was Jesus teaching us the Sermon on the Mount? Why is Jesus teaching us his word? Why are we learning all of the things that we're learning so that history can be lived and then recorded? Someday somebody might read about your life in 200 years. Somebody may follow Christ because of you. Don't say that won't happen. You don't know that. Somebody may follow Christ because of your undying devotion to allowing God to build a house that will last. There's wise and foolish builders. And the wise builders are the ones that hear and do what Jesus said. So Jesus has this woman touch her, and immediately she's healed. Immediately she's supernaturally healed. I want to submit to you today, that's exactly how God wants to work in the world. Do you believe Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever? Do you believe that God has not changed? Do you believe that his word is as true today as it was 2,000 years ago? Is it still the same Holy Spirit? So how is the Holy Spirit going to be active in the world today? And we're going to talk about and we're going to teach on the Holy Spirit starting in a series right after Easter. So we're going to unpack a lot more of this. But I want to submit to you that it happens in and through your life, a life that is built to last. There was a legacy that that woman passed on for generations because she was able to tell her children or her family or friends or whoever it was, I touched Jesus one day and I was forever changed. Do you know that that's exactly what God wants to happen today? God wants, that's a life that's built to last. God wants people to be able to come up and touch your life and their life forever be changed. Never, ever, ever be the same again because they came in contact with you and here's what happened. What flowed out of your life was exactly what they needed. That's what God intends to happen. That what flows out of my life is exactly what people need, who I get to live around and who I get to be around. And it's the same with all of us. That's how God works in the world today. That's how God builds a house that lasts. We're not talking about a wood house. We're not talking about a brick house. We're not talking about that kind of a house. We're talking about a house that lasts and lives beyond us. Say, that's me. That is you. And if we'll let faith arise and we'll believe that, it will forever impact and change our lives. It will forever impact and change our lives. I remembered this when we were worshiping, and I've remembered this many times in my life. But I remember the very first job I ever had as a boy that I actually got paid for and I actually had a time card. And it was at a Sambo's restaurant in Southern California. And I remember working at that restaurant and making a couple agreements with the owner of the restaurant. I'll give you a job if you promise not to come out in the front of the restaurant. Don't want you to make the customers sick. Okay? That's a deal. I won't come out in the front of the restaurant. That's another story for another day. So the owner of the restaurant hired me to be the dishwasher. Another man that I worked with at the time was the busboy there. I didn't know anything about him, except that his name was Donnie. And he was at least twice as old as I was. I was 15 years old, so I had to be driven to work. I didn't have a driver's license. 15 years old, I had to be driven to work. Donnie had to be driven to work. And because I was the dishwasher and Donnie was the busboy, we worked the same shift, which meant we took breaks at the same time every day. So we'd work an 8-hour shift, and we got 2 10-minute breaks and a 30-minute lunch every single day. And I remember working with Donnie. This is my first experience ever working for someone other than mowing lawns and doing that kind of thing. First time. Donnie's the first guy that I've ever worked with. And I remember just watching this guy for weeks. He'd run these tubs back into the back where I'm washing dishes and sweat's pouring off of him and his shirt is soaking wet. And he's probably old enough to be my dad. He's got a heavy beard. And all I know is that I thought he was an old man. He's probably 30, 35 years old. I'm 15. I thought he was an old man. And he would run back. That's all he would do is run. And then they'd give us a 10-minute break and Donnie would sit down at the table and he had a little timer. And he'd turn that little timer to 10 minutes And he'd just stare at that timer. He'd never talk to me. He'd just stare at that timer, turn that timer to 10 minutes, just stare at that timer, and as soon as that buzzer went off, he'd be up and he'd be back to work. And one day I asked one of the servers at the restaurant, what's wrong with Donnie? I knew something was wrong with Donnie. Didn't know exactly what was wrong, but I knew something was wrong with Donnie. And I remember saying to one of the servers, what's wrong with Donnie? Because it would come time for us to have our lunch break, our 30-minute lunch break. And we'd sit down and Donnie'd set that timer to 30 minutes. He and I'd be sitting right here. He'd never say a word to me, never. He'd stare at that timer. He'd lock his eyes on that timer and he'd eat his food. And as soon as that 30 minutes was up, he was back at work, running, 8-hour shift. And I remember saying to a server one time, what happened to Donnie? Here's what she told me. When Donnie was a little boy, somebody decided that they were going to play a joke on him. So they opened up his locker and they took out his lunch bucket and they smeared rat poison on his sandwich. And so Donnie eats this sandwich that has rat poison on it and it fries his brain. So here's Donnie, a 30 or 35-year-old man, working at Sambo's restaurant in Southern California as a busboy. Now, here's why I tell you that story. Let me fast forward 20 years or so-ish. I'm out of the Marine Corps and I'm in construction and I'm working for a guy and I'm a foreman and I'm running work. And I remember a guy coming up to me on the job one time and saying to me, And I told these guys when they'd come out and I'd hire them, you'd get two 10-minute breaks and you'd get a 30-minute lunch. That's what you get. And I remember a guy coming up to me one time and asking me if we could take a longer break on the job. The owner of the company wasn't there, and he asked, could we take a longer break? And I remember getting really mad at him. I'm a Christian, and I love Jesus, and he walked away, and I was ready to punch his lights out. And I felt convicted because of it. I thought, why did I get so mad? Why did I get so mad at this guy? Because he asked me if I could make, if he could take more than a 10-minute break. Here's what the Lord quickened to me. This is 20 years later. The Lord just said to me, do you remember Donnie? Just like that. Do you remember Donnie? All of a sudden, I flashed back into my mind until I was 15 years old, and I flashed back, and I remember this. Something flowed out of Donnie's life that changed my life forever. Something flowed out of his life when I was a 15-year-old boy, and he never said a word to me. He never said a word to me about, Blake, you need to have a work ethic. Blake, you need to work hard. Blake, you need to press. You need to work harder than any. He never said that to me. Never said that to me. But because he let it flow out of his life and it touched me as a 15-year-old, it changed my life. It changed my life. And I can tell you honestly today that I have not stolen from an employer ever in my life. Not time or money. And I'm not doing that for this reason. I'm not patting myself on the back. I'm only telling you that to say, do not discount the impact you are having on people's lives. Jesus said, who touched me? What do you mean, Jesus? Something happened to me. Something flowed out of my life. And I want to just challenge you with this reality that God wants that to be happening today. I am thankful for what Donnie taught me without ever saying a word to me. Someday I'm going to find Donnie in heaven, and I'm going to stick my hand out, and I'm going to shake his hand, and I'm going to say, thank you for teaching me something without ever saying a word. Do you know that we get to do that today? We get to do that today, every single day. The Spirit of God lives inside of you. God wants people coming up and touching your life. He may want somebody supernaturally healed that comes up and touches your life. Will you let faith arise in your life and in your heart so you'll believe it? If not you, who's going to do it? I can't do it all. You can't do it all. You can't do it all. You can't do it all. But together we can do it. Together we can do what God has called us to do. You got to celebrate the wins and you got to celebrate the victories. There is a reason that Jesus went right from the Sermon on the Mount to talking about all of the miracles that he did. Because then he segues into, towards the end of his life, I am sending the Holy Spirit. And he's going to live inside of you and he's going to remind you and teach you about everything that I came to do. Everything. And you're going to do greater things than I did. Jesus said those words, not me. You're going to do greater things than Jesus. That just hit me tonight. I thought, wow, I need to live like I believe that. So, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice will be like a wise man who built his house. Who built his house. God's paid for the house. I've got to maintain it. I've got to keep it up. I've got to keep pouring the word in. I've got to keep believing the word. I've got to keep standing on the word. I've got to keep trusting what God has already said to the point where I live it and I believe it. Someday when I get to heaven, I pray that I'm going to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I believe that I'm going to hear that. And I want to have a legacy of lives that have been touched. I don't need to know it now. It just makes my head big. I don't want to know it now, but I want to know that I'm doing what Jesus called me to do. So Jesus put this story in the Bible for a reason. Will you believe it? Will you really believe it? Will you really believe it and live it? Let me just close with this scripture. I'm going to have Brandon come back up here. And let me just close with this scripture. This one is on your outline. Hebrews chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. Let me just read it to you off of your outline. Therefore, holy brothers and sisters, holy family of God. Say, that's me. Therefore, holy brothers who share in the heavenly calling, fix your thoughts on Jesus, the apostle and the high priest whom we confess. He is faithful to the one who appointed him, just as Moses was faithful. Now notice this, in all God's house. Moses was faithful in God's house. He wasn't God's house. Spirit of God did not live inside of Moses. The Holy Spirit came on Moses. Spirit of God did not live inside of Moses. I'll prove that to you in the next few weeks. Say thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. He was faithful to the one appointed him. Jesus has been found worthy of greater honor than Moses, just as the builder of a house has greater honor than the house itself. Every house is built by someone, but God is the builder of everything. Moses was faithful as a servant in all God's house. Notice that. Moses was faithful. Amazing man. Did Moses not do amazing things? Did Moses not do incredible things? He led millions of people, delivered millions of people. He did incredible things. He was faithful in God's house, testifying that what would be said in the future. But Christ is faithful as a son over God's house, and we are his house. It's what the Bible says, not my words. We are his house if we hold to the courage and the hope we boast. So here's what we can know from Scripture. God did great things through Moses, but Moses wasn't God's house. We are. Jesus said, you must wait because I am going to send the Comforter, the Counselor, the Holy Spirit. He's going to live in you, and he's going to guide you into all truth. So I'm going to ask you to stand up. Thank you for allowing me the flexibility tonight to change things a little. Here's how I want to close the service tonight. And Brandon and I talked about this a little bit. And I appreciate the prophetic gift that Brandon has. And we have been talking about the Sermon on the Mount. We've been talking about all of the things that God wants to do in our lives. And a way of closing our service tonight, I just want you to come forward as just a declaration of your faith that, God, I believe you. I believe all of the things we've studied over the last couple months. I believe that your word is true. I believe you're the same God that we read about and that we study about. And God, I want you to do those things in and through my life, just like I read about in the Bible. And I want you to come forward, and I want us to line here, and I want us to believe what God's word says. And Brandon's gonna just sing something over us as a way of closing our service tonight. And so I just want you to come, and I want you to believe that God wants to touch you tonight.
We hope that this message has spoken something personal to you. If you would like more information about our church family or service times, please call us at 303-424-2121 or visit us at our website, www.fbci.org. Faith Bible Chapel currently meets in our Family Worship Center, located on the corner of 62nd Avenue and Ward Road.